This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Man, we got a ton of guests. I mean, a ton of guests between now and 10 a.m. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. And, of course, SiriusXM. Couldn't do it without those guys. 371, that's where you can find us Monday through Friday from 7 till 10 a.m. on your satellite dial. All right, you ready to start the
there you have it.
Litany of guests? I mean, we got all kinds of people stopping by in the next couple hours.
Yes, we do. I need to remind folks here quickly, though, before we welcome Monica on, about the ACC Championship Hub. It's available through the ACC's mobile app, or you can visit the website exclusively, accchamphub.com. They've got highlights, exclusive content, chalk talk, information, everything you need to know about not only the women's tournament this week in Greensboro, but the men's tournament as well. So log on to ACC Champ Hub for all the latest information. You can get stats. You can get all sorts of things. A little bit of tournament history. You know, like I say, videos, everything else you could possibly want right there at accchamphub.com. And we're proud to pass that along to you and hope you'll take advantage of it. Monica McNutt joins us. Of all the things that have happened, you know, with ACC Network and our year and a half and change on the air, can I say that going on Around the Horn and winning in your first rotation is one of the prouder moments for this fine network? That one of our own went to Around the Horn and took the veterans out back and showed them who was boss, as they say.
Good morning, guys. Durham, it is my pleasure to represent our team. You know, ACC all day. Woo! I mean, ignore that stuff for the sake of this.
There you go.
You know, Monica,
we'll scrap the Hoya Saxa for a moment.
You know what? After the W in your first appearance, I might have been worthy of just a walk-off and going, you know, hey, been there, done that. You know, this is not like Jeopardy where all of a sudden I can come back and win another $75,000 tomorrow. I might have just walked off.
Right.
I might have just said, hey, you know what? You guys need to up your game before you make another phone call over here. Waste my time. I'm wearing you guys
know,
out.
I probably should have called and gotten some advice from you because, quite honestly, I haven't won since. So, you know, maybe I missed the moment.
Well, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, that might have been one of those, hey, you know what? I dipped my toe in the deep end of the pool. You know what? I dove in. I took care of business. I've got it. I got the belt. Catch y'all later. See ya. Just saying.
Yeah. Fair point. Time I get a dub, maybe I'll call it then.
But it's up to you. Yeah, it's up to you.
Okay.
But I know this much. Speaking of getting a dub, BC started things off yesterday, right? Coach Mack, man, had the big win to kind of close out the regular season. Did you feel good after a tough year? But they took care of business to start the 44th annual ACC Women's Tournament yesterday, setting the scene for a big full day of basketball in Greensboro today.
I am so thrilled. Of course, we have our entire ACC Women's Basketball Analyst group chat, and Kelly, Kelsey, Coach, and I are super envious of Jen Hildreth, LaChina Robinson, Debbie Antonelli. Those guys are on site, but we're going to do our best to keep the energy from home for our studio shows. Boston College got this thing kicked off right, particularly Cameron Schwartz setting a opening day record in terms of points scored. But I think the thing about Boston College this year is we can't have a conversation about them without talking about COVID and some of the ups and downs that they had to deal with this season. They still retained the core talent from last year that got a win over Duke in the ACC tournament. Taylor Soule continuing to take progress. Cameron Schwartz was obviously big for this group. I'm excited about this matchup heading into today. Boston College has a Syracuse squad that has been really up and down, to say the least, coming down the stretch. Obviously, you wonder if fatigue plays into it, as Syracuse is going to be fresh, and they have the reigning freshman of the year in Camila Cardoso, who is a force in the paint.
Yeah, and she'll be with us later in this hour in an interview we taped yesterday, Monica. Here's the thought, though, on today. Carolina and Wake Forest. Now, Charlie Cream was with us yesterday, and both teams are fighting. This is 40 minutes of high drama in many respects, right? Because nobody's guaranteed anything after this weekend who gets on the floor at noon, right?
100%. And I saw the update late last night from Charlie that, you know, this team is playing for their livelihood in conference. On one of our shows, I want to say 3 weeks back now, Wake Forest came up as a topic. I was in on Wake Forest. I loved what Ivana Raza brung, Gina Conti. I thought Jewel Spear was coming along at the right time. Christina Mora knows her role for this group and doesn't try to do too much. I will admit that at that point, I was out on North Carolina. Then they got the big win against NC State in their rivalry. They dismantled Georgia Tech here down the stretch, although I do think that Georgia Tech was tired in that game, but you can't use that as an excuse. Stephanie Watts is playing better basketball, what's my point guard? Deja Kelly is doing a great job of distributing, and Janelle Bailey. You know, there was a little bit of conversation about whether or not she got snubbed. I do understand the argument when you bear out just her numbers, but she may have been a prisoner of her own success from last year in that a lot of folks, myself included, picked North Carolina as a dark horse to surprise in this league, and they didn't quite have the overall year that we were anticipating. But I bet you Janelle Bailey comes into this one with a chip on her shoulder. So this is a huge game, Wes. I hope you're not asking me to call it because this one is going to be tough.
You know, the other thing, too, Wake had so many chances down. Wake had so many chances down the stretch to kind of get on the right side of the bubble. Now, they still may play. You know, who knows how this thing works out, right? You just never know till the selection committee makes their call. But, Monica, it just seemed like every time Wake had a chance to get one of those wins the last couple of weeks, they just were not able to get over the hump. And that's why today kind of feels like a must win for the Deacs if they're going to get to the postseason. It just feels that way.
You're 100% right, Pac, and I think, and this one doesn't even really fall into that down the back half conversation. It might have been right at the halfway mark, but I think about the Louisville loss automatically. Right. They played great basketball, and Dana Evans did player of the year type things down the stretch to win that game. And so it's almost as if Wake second half reversed a bit into what Virginia Tech's first half was, and that they were playing great basketball, but for whatever reason, they couldn't come up with the closing moments so that they come out on the W side as opposed to the L side of the column. But what I will say, we've talked with Coach Hoover about must wins, and she doesn't use that phrase. She said all season that each week is a season for her squad, and they're just trying to win the season. She doesn't have to say it to this group. You've got Raza, you've got Conti, you've got upperclassmen that have been there, done that, and understand the history that Wake Forest is on the brink of making in terms of getting back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since Coach Hoover was playing ball. They know the magnitude of the moment. Now, you've got compartmentalized. I understand this moment. I embrace this moment, but I'm not going to allow my urgency to turn me into out of control and not focused. So I think having upperclassmen that have been there, done that helps Wake. But just in terms of the matchups, if Janelle Bailey is bodying and being physical, that's a matchup for Mora. Raza, she can't have that first half slow start that sometimes she has, but she'll probably, I guess that matchup is a little bit tricky. I'm messing up her name. She has the European name. I want to say Prohaska, but that's not right. But that's what I'm thinking of on North Carolina that probably will draw her matchup. Her last name is not Prohaska. I can't think of it right now. But I think Raza, to me, has to have a big game in this one.
All right, so if I'm intrigued by Carolina Wake Forest, the next one that that draws me is the situation with Miami and Virginia Tech. Because Kenny Brooks' team.
Sorry, I'm focused.
Polishinska.
That's
why you're the best.
Hey, Monica.
It's why you're the best.
Hey, Monica, if I had a button, I'd put -2 points on that one. -2 points for you on that one.
Yeah, it's -2 right there. It's down. You're going down.
Let's go. I'm here. Let's go.
Wait till I call Reale and tell him that one. Anyway, the idea of Virginia Tech and Miami here, if the Hokies hadn't lost to Carolina at the end, Monica, I might not feel this way. But Kenny Brooks has had that team that's kind of done this a little bit. They had more of this at the end than this. But the last look was not good.
So, Miami's best player got injured in Kelsey Marshall, and they literally have been doing the best they can to put it together. I think people looked at their schedule at points this season and the way they were losing, they didn't shoot the ball tremendously well, either from three or the field. And they obviously struggled to rebound, although Naomi Mbandu came on a little bit late in the season. But Miami, if they get into their signature, West, Miami is so dangerous. They like to press, they like to run the floor, and they like to attack the paint. Now, granted, on the flip side of this, Virginia, Liz Kitley and Asia Shepherd, arguably the best duo consistently over the course of this regular season, even though it didn't always calculate to wins early on, they're going to have to handle that pressure. Kitley absolutely has the height advantage, but again, Mbandu to me and Goni are people that are settling in and willing to be physical. So the guard matchup, whether it's Amor or Kayla King or Shepherd, like the matchup of the guards to me, they match up well. You have to capitalize on having Kitley in this particular matchup to me.
All right, what about Notre Dame Clemson? Tigers really struggled down the stretch, and for a while it just seems like we didn't see Notre Dame play at all, and then they finally start playing some games late. From a momentum standpoint, it seems like the Irish would have the nod here.
I think so. I don't know exactly what was going on with Clemson, and I'm a big fan of what Coach Amanda Butler does, particularly on her defensive side of the ball. Those players have the right to kind of audible defensively, especially coming off screens if they want to call for a trap. I like that frenetic, all over the place, organized chaos. But it felt like we saw less of it be effective down the stretch. And Notre Dame quietly, you know, they played a close game with Louisville, and that's a group that's still, they're not as young as last year, but they still are led by youth. When you look at Maddie Westfeld, who the coaches chose as player of the year, Olivia Miles coming in late, Anaya Peoples, Destiny Walker. Destiny Walker obviously is one of the older players on that squad. But I think they were still working through continuity. They were, you know, baptized by fire, learning on the job. I give them a slight edge in this one because I think we've seen them make progress step by step, even if it didn't necessarily translate to wins. And I think Clemson has left me scratching my head because down the stretch, Gabby Elliott got a little bit quiet. We know about Delisha Washington, who I think is tremendous, but I didn't see the signature defense, which I loved about Clemson, and I thought created problems for teams that they posed.
All right, Monica, are we in any way, shape, or form going to get something other than Louisville, NC State Sunday?
I think there's a shot, Wes. I think there's a real shot. I go back to the Louisville, North Carolina State matchup between those two. And this is why, as dangerous as Louisville is, if you can get to the glass against them, there's so much pressure on Dana Evans. NC State dominated on the glass. Now, I'm not saying that every team in our league has the ability to dominate on the glass the way the NC State did, but if you can make a concerted effort to give them one shot, they don't get second chance opportunities, and you're getting up and down the floor, I think there's a real chance to you could knock off Louisville. We're literally, you know, it's do or die. It's who plays best in that game and not necessarily over the course of a season. On the flip side, for NC State, I've been so impressed with their balance this year, but again, if you're willing to be physical and your defense is playing out of its mind, they can miss shots too. I think they, to me, have the most balance in terms of the variety of ways in which they can score. And to me, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner has just taken her game up to the next level. But, you know, this is why we suit up and play the game. I think there's a world in which an FSU team, which we saw knock off Louisville, Coach Brooke Wyckoff has done a tremendous job with them. I think they play very, very scrappy defense.
Yeah,
I've been fan of Georgia Tech and Nell Fortner's defense. And Lorella Kubai, I love that coach had her back when she did not get the nod for Defensive Player of the Year in the national conversation. But she is a rock in terms of what she does and what she brings. So if Georgia Tech got out and put the straps on, as we like to say, was playing outstanding defense and hitting shots, I wouldn't be surprised if they got either one of those teams either.
Hey, Monica, what was that selection committee thinking? Talk about Louisville on the three line. What's going on there?
Oh, Pac, you want to get me in trouble. All right, so I will say I was a voter this year, and Louisville took a slide for me after the FSU loss as well. It's so tough when you look at the national landscape. I think there's a little bit of projecting there, and again, if the committee is concerned about the balance, Dana Evans is 100% incredible. Haley Van Lith, Elizabeth Dixon, when those guys are on, Kiana Smith, when they're on, they're great. But I think we've seen glimpses of it being too much on Dana's shoulders. And then you look at the teams that were ahead of them, they're a little bit more balanced. And overall, the SEC has been tremendous this year. So I get it. I know Coach Waltz and Louisville Nation is not crazy about it, but I kind of get it.
Wrong answer. That's four in the hole. That's minus four on that one. Well, I tell you what, you better hope I never host that round the horn. You got no shot with me at the role, the way you're going in this interview. No way.
All right. Clearly your work is done here, Monica. Clearly your work is done. But don't worry, there's more to come.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Monica McNutt, always entertaining. Yeah, those Louisville fans, they won't like that answer about being on the three line. But you know what? All that'll get straightened out this week, though. It's all going to get straightened out this week.
Yep.
Don't have to worry about it. They're going to be good to go.
That's right. Yep.
All right, we're going up to see the Lumberjacks. Time for a little true or false. And Josh Macri. Oh, brought to you by Dish. True.
Tuned into you.
Yep. Macri's going to be pumped, man. What a week for Syracuse. Holy Macri.
Oh, come on, Josh. Come on. Come on.
Clemson. Ladies play today.
Where's your Queth Dwaney jersey?
It's at home. It doesn't fit like it used to. But.
Doubled up Virginia and lacrosse. I mean, has it been? I mean, seriously.
Come
How
on.
Good a week has it been for
Come
Syracuse?
On. It's been a good week. Let's go. Come on.
It has.
It's been a good week.
Yes. No, it's been a good week. Life on the bubble is always fun.
Yeah.
Either way, though, time to get to true or false, presented by Dish. And speaking of the Orange, they face Boston College today on the women's side, BC coming off that win yesterday, in which Cameron Swartz went off, scoring in 33 points. True or false, Swartz's 33 will be the most points scored in the ACC tournament on either side this year.
False.
Really?
How about that? Hey, somebody's going to have an explosion. I'm going to go false. Somebody's going to go off in the tournament.
All right, I'm going to ask to mark the tape here. True. Her 33 is the most.
Come on, Wes, live a little bit. Live a little bit, Durham. Somebody's going to go crazy in Greensboro. They're going to request.
The most.
They're going to request that the shoe blimp come back out if I didn't break that sucker last year, because somebody is going to go bonkers in the Greensboro Coliseum the rest of either the women's tournament or next week. Matthew Hurt, somebody. Moses Wright, somebody. Justin Champagne may take more than 10 shots. Somebody's going to go crazy in Greensboro. I'm rooting for that.
All right. Josh, real quick. Production note here, is it possible for us to get the video of my man with the blimp last year for tomorrow's anniversary of him driving the blimp with John Tarwater?
I think we can probably scrape that up somewhere, yeah.
That's also the anniversary tomorrow, by the way.
One small step for man, one giant leap for ACC Network. I believe that's what I uttered right before I tried to take the blimp right into the upper deck and crash that sucker.
That's exactly right. We all remember it fondly. You also, Pack, provided a very professional segue for our next true or false question, because you said somebody could go off in Greensboro, and you mentioned Moses Wright. It's funny you say that, because since Valentine's Day, our man Moses has led the ACC both in scoring with a hair under 25 points per game and rebounding with a hair over 11 per game. True or false, Moses Wright will average the most points and rebounds in Greensboro.
False.
Let me think about this for a second. All right, go ahead, Wes. You pontificate. I'm going to give this one some thought.
False. I said false. I think rebounds, maybe. Points, I'm not so sure. The rebound thing, maybe. I'm just not convinced of points. I think somebody who plays, you know, a couple games may get a boatload of points. His team may not advance. His or her team may not advance, but. You know, we're talking about a guy who's turned it on lately. There's no question he'd be a candidate, but I'm saying false.
All right. You're probably, I think the key word here is and. If it was one or the other, I would say true, but you're probably right. The word "and" tips it to a false by Dish. False.
Right. All right. So we're both false. Very good. Mm-hmm. All right. Next.
Of course, before we get to Greensboro, we have to watch Duke and Carolina play this weekend. True or false, we will see a sweep in that series for the second consecutive season. There has not been a sweep in back-to-back years since 2009-2010.
So you basically...
Are we talking about regular season sweep or season sweeps?
We're talking regular season sweep.
You're really asking for the MPI here, aren't you?
Yeah.
I can tell you what the MPI number is if you want it. You want the MPI number or true or false? I'll let you guys decide.
Let's have the true or false first, since it is sponsored by Dish.
Dish. I'm going to say false.
Think Duke wins, huh?
I think Duke's going to win the game. Don't ask me why.
All right.
That's good news for North Carolina, by the way, me saying that. The MPI number is 50%. 50% is the MPI number.
I'm going to go true. I think there will be a season sweep.
Do you like the Heels? Like the Heels?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like Carolina at home. Yeah, Carolina at home on Saturday night. Yeah, a little bit of crowd in the Smith Center.
And that helped. Hey, it helped against Florida State.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Two more.
Yeah, I'm going to go true there. There will be a sweep.
Okay.
All right. Two more quick ones, fellas. True or false, going back to the women's tournament, at least one lower seed will win a game today.
True.
Cheers. At least one today? Yes, true. I'll go true there. Really interested in Wake Carolina, by the way, at noon. That would be the one that would be, and I do believe there's something about Miami, Virginia Tech we asked Monica about too.
Yeah, you had a vibe on that one. I had a sense.
Gina and the Deeks need a win though, Pac.
Oh, Gina's going to make some free throws if they're going to upset the Heels. And North Carolina fresh off and snapping Virginia Tech's win streak and been playing well down the stretch. So Deeks need one badly.
Yep.
Desperately need that W. Yep. No question. All right, Mr. Macri, close it out.
There you go.
Fellas, last one. True or false, this week after another wrestling championship and combine that with five straight ACC wins for the first time in almost 20 years, proves that NC State can, in fact, have nice things.
True. In all caps. True.
True. Very true. Yeah. A lot of nice things for the Wolfpack right now. Our friend Sam Homewood, David Jones. All these guys that, you know, can't think NC State can have nice things. Right, Pac?
Yep.
Wolfpack's got nice things.
Got nice things. And that's the reason why Dish's logo is red and white. True.
Yeah, there you go. Last night, Darion Sebron. Ooh, man. Hayden Hidley, Deontay Thomas. They had a lot of nice things.
Listen, NC State.
Papalizio.
Men's basketball teams won five straight. The women's program rocking and rolling. Got a chance to be a one seed if everything falls into place in Greensboro. Playing great down
That's
the
right.
stretch. A little disappointing for NC State men's swimming diving. Normally they dominate and win. That didn't happen. But nevertheless, good
That's
things
right.
are happening right now in Raleigh. Good times in Raleigh, NC.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Busy, busy.
All right, get
show.
Ready.
I mean, this really, we got all kinds of stuff going on. Yesterday we talked about the brackets for the ladies.
Cheers.
Today it's for the men. Who better to break it down?
Yeah.
And the guy that's out with a brand spanking new book, and it's March. Joe Lenardi is back on the show.
Published.
There he is.
Yeah, it is.
Joe.
From the bunker, by the way.
Wes, I have been called a lot of things in my life. I think this author is definitely a first. And I am here to announce exclusively on your show, ACC Network, that in the United States of America, one does not need to be able to read a book to write one.
Wow. Should we just end the interview? Should we just end it right here and go out in style, Joe?
Well, I mean, I think, Mark, it sounds like between us, the over and under on hours of sleep last night is about 1.5. So, you know, I agreed to do the show. I didn't agree to be coherent.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to fake them. You got to fake them out, Joe. That's the key to this whole deal with television.
Well, I've been doing that for a long time.
It's all a facade. You know, it's a fake left, go right moment is what this is. Oh. But nevertheless, we're getting down to crunch time. And let's start with a team that won yesterday and had to win yesterday in Syracuse. It was a good week for Jim Boeheim's boys. North Carolina Monday, Clemson Wednesday, but I get a sense there's still work to be done for the Cuse to get into the tournament.
Yeah, I got to tell you that when I do lose sleep at this time of the year, at least in recent years, I can blame a lot of that on Coach Boeheim. I know that it's easy to come across as that kid in the back of the class who thinks he knows everything, and nobody likes that guy. But, like, I'm not too bad at this. Like, I'm pretty good at this. And I can never get Syracuse right. I just can't do it. I guess they're kryptonite. So the answer to the question, what does Syracuse have to do? Pay me a lot of money to leave them out. Because then they're a lock.
That sounds like my picks, Joe. That's how I normally roll. You know, whatever I say, fake left, go the other way, you'd probably be better off.
But good Lord, the last time I picked against them, they went to the Final Four. So I abstain gracefully on Syracuse. They need to win some more games because they have yet to win a significant game away from the dome.
All right. Joe, in essence, does it then matter who they play hypothetically Wednesday in Greensboro? Because I'm beginning to believe it does. I think that you're mentioning who they've played at home and who they haven't played on the road or winning on the road, period. They gotta play somebody of some juice. And to be honest with you, I'm just looking at prospecting here this morning. We might get Syracuse Duke in an 8-9 game in Greensboro on a Wednesday.
Can you imagine? Like, look, the committee will tell you there's no such thing as a play-in game in the conference tournament, but I think we know better from experience. At least sometimes it falls in just a perfect way. And can you imagine Coach K and Boeheim playing for a spot in the first four instead of the final four? I don't know what time of day that game would be, but I got to imagine there's a lot of college basketball fans in the ACC that might get the sniffles if that happens.
Could happen. Let me paint a picture, and then you tell me the directions everybody goes here. Duke, North Carolina going to play Saturday night. And who's going to be a one seed? Who's going to be a two seed? Different animal this year. North Carolina, disappointing loss to Syracuse. They got all week to think about it. They had that crazy loss to Marquette. They had a great win against Florida State. I mean, they've been all over the place. Duke, enough said, right? Back-to-back overtime losses, woulda, coulda, shoulda. If Duke wins at North Carolina, Joe, for argument's sake, paint the picture of both shades of blue as we head into Greensboro under that scenario.
Well, I thought when Duke beat Virginia to kind of start what could have been, you know, a really good bit of momentum resulting in an at-large bid, that they needed three more wins at that point, maybe could get by with two if they were the right ones. And, of course, since then, they've lost back-to-back. So Carolina, to me, keeps them in the conversation but doesn't necessarily put them in the field headed to Greensboro because there's so many other teams in play here who are playing at the same time. So, you know, if Wes is right that a likely outcome is Duke and Syracuse, they got to win that game. I don't think anybody outside of Durham would argue that if they don't win those two games that they haven't done enough, because they haven't.
And what about North Carolina? If I paint the picture that they lose Saturday night at home, well, tell me about North Carolina's path.
I think their path is avoiding a bad loss. They are safer than Duke. They have, you know, slightly better wins than Duke. They have better metrics than Duke. And at the moment, they also beat Duke in the one game between the two. So I don't think it's unreasonable to have Carolina in the field and Duke not at this point. But, you know, if they were to lose at home to – remember, on paper, they're losing to a bubble team. They're not losing to Duke, right, in the way that we think of them. And then, again, what does the bracket show for them, Wes? You know, they just can't get upset by someone way beneath them in the standings.
Okay. Joe, take me through then the how high can Florida State go? In other words, I think you've got them somewhere like at 4 or 5. I've seen on different lines, depending on the way it shakes out, maybe even a 6. Where can the Noles move to realistically? I mean, they got a chance to finish 12-3 to end the regular season, 16-4. What would that do? And then what would they need to do? Let's say if they win the whole thing, how far could they move? They're clearly deep enough to survive a tournament format.
Clearly. And actually, new bracket being posted as we speak. Going into play last night, they were the highest 4. And now they're the lowest 3, although there should be a rule that when you play in those baby blues this late in the year, as Florida State, that it's so like when I'm in the world, that's going to be a rule, and many other rules, you know, that are long overdue, starting with replacing the committee with the three of us. You know, but that FSU's been as high as a 2 at times. Generally, they've been in that 3 range. And I think if, you know, I had a better mortgage payment, that is where they will fall. But sure, running the table in the ACC tournament and getting a little help above them could move them up one more line. But, you know, winning the ACC tournament isn't going to have the juice that it usually does, for one. And for two, from a practical matter, what difference does it make, 2 or 3, right? Like, we want to avoid the 1 as long as possible, especially this year when at least 3 of them are seemingly so dominant. If the bracket holds, and realizing it never does, but you maybe get a slightly easier path as a 3, but you're playing the 2 in the regionals, at least you're slotted to. So you're playing that game anyway. It's just a question of whether you're wearing white or, you know, in their case here, light blue. And, you know, I like their chances because I just think they're studs. And they play so hard, and they're so hard to play against. And, you know, nobody remembers this now, but we did do a Twitter tournament last year when the big one was canceled that coincided with the actual dates and times of the games. And Florida State lost to Michigan State in the championship game last year. That's how much we thought of them.
How big a win was Georgia Tech knocking off Duke, and where it places them in the big picture?
It was certainly the biggest win for Georgia Tech basketball. I mean, Wes would know better than whenever the last time is they made the tournament, right? Because, you know, they've kind of been wandering in the wilderness here for a while, and that was gigantic. And it sure looks like they're going to make it. You know, again, they're like Carolina to a degree that at this point, avoiding the bad loss is critical. But I think they're going to sneak in. as long as they don't let, you know, Josh on the committee and bringing in, you know, the 17 or 18 other ACC teams he thinks deserve it. You know, God bless them. You know, lobby for your team all you want. Let's leave the higher math to us.
Hey, Joe, you may have a book, but until you have a face shield like this one, you know what? You're preaching to the wrong guys.
I don't know if that would fit over my schnoz. That's why we had to do a vertical on the cover of the book instead of a horizontal.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Hey, thanks for the time. Know you're covered up big time. Enjoy the week up to it. I got to be honest, I would like to have you come back maybe during the tournament and tell us kind of where you saw the nooks and the crannies of this thing fall a little bit. I'm curious, because of all the things that have happened this year, how weird this is going to be. You know, I mean, I just think it's going to be a weird setup when we get to it.
I'm happy to do it. I mean, we should do one of those. What do they call that? Like in the football playoffs, when the network does all those channels, all the like multicast or whatever. We should do that for the Duke Syracuse 8-9 game. Man. And the 11 people watching us will have a blast. It'd be awesome.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, available for order at all your favorite outlets, stores, and online venues. Bracketology, Joe Lunardi, the forward by Mark Few, who is going to be a top seed, by the way, in the bracket. Joe, thank you. Be well, my man. Appreciate it very much.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, busy, busy Thursday. Power Hour is slam. But before we do all that, yesterday, Wes Durham and I had a chance to talk to Syracuse women's basketball sensation Camila Cardoso. Asked her point blank, from Brazil to Syracuse, New York. How in the world does that happen?
And so I used to play basketball in a middle school in Brazil, and I got invited to come play basketball in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on a high school team. Mm. So I moved here when I was 15 years old, and now I came to college.
Now, let me ask you this. What in Syracuse, New York reminds you of home?
And I think the people... like, they are very nice people, and they make me feel like I was home, so.
That's a good answer. Yeah. That was a good answer.
That's real good.
Because let me tell you something. Before Wes goes crazy here. Because let me tell you, I think of Brazil, right? And the first thing that pops in my head is Rio de Janeiro and the beaches and people having a good time. And, man, there no rules, no regulations. Everybody just enjoy life, and we're going full throttle. I think of Syracuse. And I can think of, you know what, we might need to layer up. It might be a little chilly. And the last thing I think of is a beach. So your home in Brazil, give me a little background on your background in Brazil. What's it like?
I mean, I live like 3 hours away from the beach. But like, it's a very nice place.
The temperature's too, but Camila, the weather's a lot different though, right? I mean, is it really cold in Brazil? Not often, right?
No, it's really hot in Brazil.
Yeah. Gosh. So, all right, let's pivot to basketball, because you've had a significant impact on this league. I mean, the ACC Rookie of the Year is one thing, all ACC first teams another. What kind of expectation did you have of yourself when you came to Syracuse to play for Coach Hilsman?
I just wanted to play basketball and be the greatest.
Mm. Wait a minute now. Now, hold on a second. Let me ask you this. When you met Q for the first time, did you say, man, I can connect with this guy? This guy is speaking my language. What was it like when you met Q for the first time?
And he came to my high school, and we was having a meeting, and it was very fun. And, like, he made me feel like he was about to take care of me and help me with everything that I need. So
And by the way, you know, he's kind of a fashion guy. You know, he comes on our show and he's got that clean shaven head. He always says, man, I start my day, my head feels nice and cool. And that Syracuse weather makes you wake up. And of course, he's always dialed in with the clothes and everything else. So, I mean, he's a kind of a fashion plate, isn't he? I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
So now we get around to the tournament and the environment of the tournament. Are you looking forward to this? I mean, the regular season, you know, it's been very successful for you personally and for the most part, your team too. So how do you feel about starting in the tournament?
I feel very excited.
Yeah.
Oh, there's got
to
be more
different,
to
though?
It
Is it different than the regular season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different. Like, I'm a little nervous, but.
No, wait a minute. Why would you be nervous? I mean, you've just been this dominant force in ACC women's basketball. I would think that you are not only nervous, but, you know, nervous is a good thing, though, right? I mean, every great athlete I've talked to is always like, hey, you know, if you're nervous a little bit before a game, that's good. That means you're ready to go.
Mm. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you know, you might have this international team as we've got going on. You got Tiana, you know, who's from down under. So what's that like? I mean, you've got players from all over the world on this team.
It's very nice. I mean, we have a great bonding, and it's just very nice to have people from all over the world.
I would think that makes it a little bit easier to make a transition to the States, given the fact that you come from so totally different environments. You're both all going through different experiences. It's never easy, even if you're from Syracuse, New York, going to Syracuse. It would seem to me that that connection would really make the bond of your team and the chemistry that much better.
Yeah.
But Camilla, you've got people, I mean, Tiana's from Australia. You're from Brazil. I think there's another player from France, right? I mean, it's a very, very international roster that Coach Hilsman's got. What's been the common ground have you found from not only players from the United States? I mean, you got players from Missouri on the roster and others from Atlanta. I mean, you've got a fairly continental United States roster. That's got to be kind of reassuring. You guys have all got to kind of bond together in a unique way.
Yeah. I mean, I think we just learned how to live with each other. And, like, now we're doing very great. We have a great chemistry. And I think that's it.
All right, Pac, time for the question. This will be good.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not ready for the question yet. I want to know more about Camilla. So, I want to go back to your homeland in Brazil. Like, from a food standpoint, because I always love food. From a food perspective, like, what do you do in Syracuse that goes, man, that reminds me of home? I mean, how do you do that in Syracuse, New York?
I go to a steakhouse.
A steakhouse? You go to like a Brazilian steakhouse, and you go, all right, that's close enough. We're going there, right?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
All right. I need to ask you this question. This might be the most – hey, listen, Camilla, this might be the hardest question you get in this interview. I want to know, since you've been at Syracuse, what has been the hardest class you've had at school?
Psychology 205.
Why? Tell me why that's been so hard.
Oh, look at that. Just.
I mean, I don't know. It's just hard. Like, my professor speaks too fast. So when I'm in class, I can't pay attention because I can't really understand her. So I just be lost.
By the way, speaking of language, how many languages do you speak? Portuguese?
Three.
You speak three languages.
Yeah.
You know what? But you can't speak Syracuse professor language, right? That's the hardest one of the four.
Yeah.
Well, listen, keep up the great work. You are a joy to talk to. We wish you nothing but health and success. And you've already had a great freshman year. Keep on rocking. We can't wait to watch you.
Thank you.
Going to be a star, Wes. She's going to be a star.
Yep. Big time player.
Yep.
Big time player, Camilla Cardoso from Marlos Contes in Brazil. She is going to be a handful in the ACC tournament. At 6'7", she is off to a remarkable start for Quentin Hillsman.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.